Let's talk tech now. And overnight, thousands of Uber drivers in the United States went on strike to call for better working conditions. The protest comes as the company prepares for its stock market launch at an estimated valuation of $90 billion US. Ariel Bogle is technology reporter with the ABC Science Unit, now regular tech guru. Hi, Ariel.
Good morning, Fran.
So what are these striking Uber drivers wanting?
Sure. So they want a range of changes to their working conditions. In particular, they want changes to the commission that Uber takes from their fee. So they want a cap on that. They want fewer driver deactivations. So at the moment, if anybody uses any of these rideshare apps, you would know that you rate the drivers. And Uber drivers say that they are too quickly kicked off the app after rider complaints or their stars drop. Things like this. They really want changes to their payments and the overall labour practices that Uber has rolled out globally.
Okay, so that's in the US, but the TWU, the Transport Workers Union here, held a rally protesting over Uber in Melbourne this week. So are these complaints shared globally?
Absolutely. So here, the Transport Workers Union, along with a whole range of rideshare drivers, want things like the right to negotiate the terms and conditions of their work contracts. They want acceptable rates of pay that help cover the costs that drivers incur. So that's the wear and tear on their car, changes in petrol prices. Of course, they also want changes to insurance and more coverage and support for drivers because, of course, Uber designates them as contractors. They're not employees of Uber, despite Uber controlling their rates of pay and the hours they work and things like this. So it's really about trying to get benefits for riders that they think they deserve as almost employees of this global tech company.
And it's interesting because as Uber wants to go public, it wants its drivers to invest in the company, doesn't it?
That's right. This is a really interesting development. So Uber is very aware that driver dissatisfaction is a risk for it. So it even said in its IPO documents, those are the documents it files with federal regulators in the US before it lists on the stock exchange. It said that driver dissatisfaction will probably increase as Uber spends less on driver incentives and might have to lower fees and pay to compete with all the other rideshare companies around the world. But they do reserve 3% of their stock for drivers, and they're giving some drivers who are loyal and have driven tens of thousands of trips some cash, hopefully to help them get there. So if you're a driver...
So they're not giving them shares, they're just reserving them if they want to buy in.
Exactly, exactly. So if you're a driver that has driven about 20,000 trips, they're going to give you about a $10,000 bonus US. That's like works out to something like 5 cents a trip or something like this. And they hope that those drivers will use that cash to invest back in Uber. But it remains to be seen. I'm sure those drivers have a lot of use for that cash.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Do you think this protest in the US and also the protest here, do you think it's going to have any impact on the company's bid to list?
Probably not on its bid to list. As you mentioned, this is a $90 billion valuation. They're going to raise billions listing on the stock exchange.
It is hard to see how it is such a $90 billion valuation when it is completely dependent. I mean, its only asset really is its drivers, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Uber still operates.
Key asset, rather.
Right. Uber operates at a significant loss. It loses money. So it does need to keep raising money to support its practice, its current operations and its expansion. But what is also interesting to remember here is that Uber is one of the leading investors in self-driving cars. So right now, they need drivers. They need those drivers to keep driving. But in the long term, they want to get rid of drivers. That's very clear. So it's kind of it's between a rock and a hard place for drivers who want to build a career with Uber.
Okay. Another big tech company in the news this week, the Google boss, Sundar Pichai, just wrote an op-ed in the New York Times detailing his vision for the future of privacy. Did you think he made a compelling argument for Google's sort of privacy vision?
Well,
believable?
Well, I certainly liked the headline or the main thrust of the piece, that privacy cannot be a luxury good only for the few that can afford premium products or pay for the highest tier of a service so that their data isn't relentlessly sucked up by these companies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, but, you know, the devil is always in the detail with these things. It's interesting that Sundar was pointing to the meaningful choices that he says Google offers users around their privacy. So you can say, no, Google, I don't want customized ads, for example, and they won't use your search history to serve you things that they think you might be interested in. But at the end of the day, Google relies on user data for all its services, and that's so integral to its business model that some of this discussion around privacy seems somewhat
Yes, because as you say, you can say that, but most of us don't say that. Most of us just hop on Google and look for things and probably don't even know how to get to that, you know, part of the organisation. And there is so much talk of privacy. I mean, do you think things are changing in Silicon Valley? As you say, their business model is tied up with this.
It has been fascinating to see Google, Facebook, many of these big companies that have gotten rich off using user data, of collecting it, they're starting to talk about privacy as part of their vision, as a sort of, someone pointed to it, it's like cars saying they're eco-friendly. It's kind of a nice dressing up, and we'll really have to see if they make meaningful changes to measure whether they are true about their intentions.
Yes.
Because, of course, there's been a whole swath of privacy regulations being rolled out globally, including in California. But in California, which introduced some strict new privacy regulations, lobbyists who lobby on behalf of Google, Facebook and the others have been pushing back and arguing for carve-outs from some of those laws. So they say they might have an op-ed in the New York Times about their commitment to privacy, but in the background, the lobbyists are still fighting for carve-outs.
All right, Ariel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ariel Bogle, technology reporter with the ABC Science Unit. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 29 minutes to 9.